Moving on to our next episode, Confessions and Lamentations.
The entire Markab race is wiped out by a plague, mostly because of their superstitions.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to read from the book here. Throughout Babylon 5, there are small details which, like silt or alluvial layers, accrete over time to create a particular mood. One of those details is the frequent association in Babylon 5 of life with light, usually embodied via candles. Whenever someone's life is in jeopardy, when it seems someone might die, you'll often find candles involved, to the point where Delin herself makes the point out loud in a later episode. The result is, over time, even when not making a direct point about life, when you start to see candles going out, you get an almost subliminal bad feeling about what's coming in the episode. This allows a writer to create a mood without having to do anything more than light a match. So when Dr. Lazarin blows out a candle after the death of yet another Markab in this episode, especially as our fade out to black, you just know that this isn't going to be an isolated incident. I thought that was kind of a cool detail that I hadn't necessarily consciously picked up on.
Okay. All right. Yeah, the Markab die, and it really ends up being because they're too stupid.
Yeah.
Which, as I believe Darwin has stated, that is as it should be.
I was wondering, is this the same Markab doctor that Franklin mentioned in the previous episode?
I don't know.
Because there was the dead Markab that had the parasite energy being.
Oh, right, of course.
And he said, you know, I'll ask my friend that's a Markab doctor. I wondered if that was on purpose.
Maybe. I don't know.
But that guy looks like Jimmy Durante to me.
Oh, I don't know Jimmy Durante well enough to know.
I kept thinking, okay, there's no way it's him. Like, I think he was dead by the time Babylon 5 was on the air. But he sure looks a lot like Jimmy Durante to me.
What I found a little, I don't know, I didn't care for this episode much about the Markab because it seemed like, you know, they were making the correlations between, okay, you know, this is the Black Death or this is AIDS, and the people who are getting this disease, they're immoral. And you know, maybe originally that's how the disease was first created. But that doesn't mean that that is absolutely necessarily the only way that one can get, you know, such a disease.
Yeah. I wrote down on several different lines here. Okay, the doctor is being made out to be a bit of an idiot here. He blindly accepts the dictates of his government to hide a disease that is 100% fatal and 100% contagious.
Yes.
There's no doctor in his right mind that would obey that order from his government.
Well, no human doctor anyway.
Okay. On the other hand, the ambassador is an even bigger idiot because he believes this. Like, it's clear that he wholeheartedly buys into the concept that this is all about morality. This disease, righteous people don't get it. They will not get sick from it, so I should pack all of the righteous people in a room and let them not get sick.
Yeah, which is the worst thing to do with a contagion.
Yeah.
Group everybody together in a small, confined space. And, turns out it just makes everybody die that much quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did think it was interesting that it was clear they were trying to make some kind of parallel to the Passover by lining up the dinner, the really highly stylized and formalized dinner that Delin and Linear and Sheridan have, which, by the way, Bill Mumy did a great job in this episode. Like, the looks on his face when they're like, oh, yeah, you spent 2 days eating nothing but bread and water and not sleeping so that you can prepare this meal. Well, I'm really hungry. Let's dig in.
What I want to know is, what do they do on a regular basis when they eat food?
Well, obviously, it's not their big ritual. I mean, this is a very special, ritualistic kind of dinner.
And that's why I say... Fair enough.
It's to make the association in our minds. I mean, they even go so far as, oh, yeah, you set aside a piece of food for Valen.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, setting aside the plate for Elijah.
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Is it Elijah?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you did get that right. I would have corrected you otherwise. Or actually mocked you for getting it wrong.
Okay.
Yeah,
that seems
right. That sounds more like me. Yeah, so anyway, tons and tons of ritual for the Minbari. Even for me, that's a lot of sacredness. Just... overboard, but if it's supposed to be a special meal akin to the Passover, then I guess it makes sense. Okay. And that there would be so much of that.
I did think it was really interesting. He had something on his spoon that was the consistency of Jell-O. It was like wobbling
spoon?
Around and stuff.
That's a spoon?
Spork, I guess.
Tine, really. I thought it was like a little poker thing.
No, it had a little... There was something that he had that had a little tiny bowl on it. And he had something in it that it looked like... I was like, oh, that looks like Jell-O. And he put it in his mouth and it goes, crunch, crunch, crunch.
That's kind of weird. It was the little stabby thing that he picked up. I thought it was going to be like this rose petal. And then I did hear the crunch. So clearly it was some sort of rice cake of some form. Or the Mimbari equivalent of that. Okay, here's something that bothered me. So we have this disease that is running rampant amongst the Markab.
Uh-huh.
And we seem to see that it's jumped species to the Pakmara.
Right.
Because one of them dies. And they need to do an autopsy. And Franklin says, okay, I need someone to go in there and do that.
Yes.
And none of them, they're just like all standing like, I don't want to do that. I could die. That I was a little affronted at.
Where did they get these morons?
Yes. Yeah. They don't have any morals whatsoever. Franklin is the only one that would have any sort of morals to say, yes, he's, you know, this is for the greater good. I need to go in here. This is my duty. This is my calling, responsibility. All of the rest of them, nothing.
I'm with you. That seemed a little bit off. Is it? And later on in the episode where he has to yell at people to get them to go do their jobs.
Yes.
So it's like, you're medical professionals. This can't possibly be the first time in your life where you've come up against, oh, I might get sick if I help this person. I didn't get that either.
Yeah, okay. Glad you noticed. All right, so Delenn has the very nice comment here. All life is transitory. You know, and indicating that we're in a constant transitioning type of life. And it's meant to be this way.
I really like that scene between Delenn and Sheridan right there. And I especially like the line that she delivers that tells us a little bit more about the Minbari theology, or I should say their eschatology.
Uh-huh.
I will see you again in the place where no shadows fall.
Okay, was that foreshadowing at all? Was it actually?
Yes.
All right. And his response is, well, when we see each other, call me John. Whatever.
I thought it was a sweet little moment.
It was okay. It was okay. All right.
Franklin's on stims.
Yeah, a mother abandons her own child.
Where'd they get lost?
I don't know.
Did I ever tell you my story about following the butterfly?
I don't think so.
When I was 6 or 7 years old, we went to the big city. You know, I at the time was living pretty much on a farm. And we went into town, and they had a mall there. And it was my first time ever in a shopping mall. And we walked in, and I saw a butterfly trapped up against the skyline. And I remember it being a very vividly colored, beautiful butterfly. And I just thought, oh, yeah, I want to see how that thing got in. I want to see what happens to it. And so I started following this butterfly around. Next thing I know, it's been like an hour, and I have no idea where everyone else in my family has gone. Meanwhile, my mom has realized that she lost track of me, went to security, and they're frantically hunting the mall looking for me. And I had ended up way down at the other end of the mall, just following this butterfly. And I just sat down on a bench and thought, yeah, they'll find me eventually.
That's a lot of faith in your family.
In my mother.
Oh, okay. Your mother. Fair enough. Yeah, good call. Good call.
And they did, and she was really panicked about it. But, you know, I don't think it's that unreasonable to think, yeah, a mom in a huge crowd like that misplaced your kid for a second. Yeah, not that unreasonable.
All right. Next thing I have trouble with.
Okay.
Does everyone speak human English?
Apparently.
It's this episode that I've had enough of it. Because we get them, they're all cordoned into this area, and Delenn is talking to that little girl, and it's...
I've just decided that there's actually, like, some other universal language that everyone speaks now. Maybe it's Loglan. Have you ever heard of Loglan?
No.
It's the perfectly logical language. Some linguistic theory guys got together and designed a language from scratch. So this will be perfectly logical. There will be no holes in it. There will be no accretions from other languages and stuff like that. So I just, in my brain, always said, yeah, that's what everyone in the galaxy speaks, and it's been translated into English for us.
Okay, that's fine. If that's actually the case, then explain it.
Yeah.
But they never, ever explain it.
On the other hand, when they do explain stuff, a lot of listeners say, oh, they're over-explaining. They should just show and not tell.
No. I'm getting to... In Star Trek, we have the Universal Translator. We don't get a rundown of exactly how the thing works. We're just told, Universal Translator.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, come up with something. Please. All right. Let's see here. I don't really have much else to say other than they all die.
Yeah.
And
Faith manages, apparently.
Making a mess never helps. Let's see here. Who makes a mess? Somebody comes through and, like, just starts smacking things and throwing them around. Someone was, like, really upset. Oh, Franklin. Franklin throws a fit because everyone dies. He's okay. Figured it out, but everyone's dead.
Okay.
And then he starts just trashing his med lab. Which seems to me like that's never going to help anything. It's like the least logical thing you can do.
Well, but it's not an unusual emotional thing to do.
Why hasn't he cut off all emotion to himself yet?
Because he's on stims.
No. Lame.
Ha! I found it! The apologist footwear is on tonight.
Great. Can we move on to comments?
Yes, absolutely.
Aaron says, while I respect Lanier and Delenn's going into the quarantine zone, I don't think I could do it. That's an honest assessment.
I don't think he could do it either.
Sci-fi 4, TV 4.
Okay.
All right. JD says nothing about this because...
You mean number two together.
Yeah. All right. We have SpongeBob. She says, who cares about the Markab? Oh, man. Looks like things are heating up between our favorite pseudo-Mimbari and our brave captain. Call me John. Everyone together now. Aww. Boring but sweet, 6. Listener Bob. He says, this was a standalone episode, 2 in a row. They must be building up to something big. This, however, was marginally better than the last one. Despite the quiet macabre storyline of an entire race of people being wiped out, the episode did have its amusing moments, such as Sheridan falling asleep at the dinner table. I really hope that Delenn and Lanier were having him on with all those eating rituals. Could Joey shed some light on that?
No, those are serious. They were very, very serious about those. That's why when Delenn says, we'll have to do this again sometime, the look on Lanier's face clearly says, no, we are never going to do this again. The guy fell asleep. I'm the one who stayed up for 2 days. He's taking a nap.
This gets a 3 for sci-fi and 5 for television. Okay. Let's see here. We've got listener Moneybags. He says, this, a decent episode as I recall. Killing off an entire race was a bold move. What we did get a cute kid in this episode, in violation of JMS's edict
no kids
or robots. But she's dead by the end, so I guess it doesn't count.
I think that little girl is pretty cute. I agree with him.
Okay, Joey, what would you say for your science fiction rating?
I'm really surprised at the low ratings that this got for science fiction. I think wiping out an entire race due to ignorance and just pure superstition is incredibly science fiction-y. I'm giving this a 7 for science fiction.
I'm with SpongeBob here. Who cares about the Marquette? Come on. Seriously, who cares? Right. It does absolutely nothing for the major storyline.
Okay.
I'm still sticking with this.
Okay.
So I'm going to give this sci-fi 5. Yeah, we did kill off an entire race, but who cares? And it wasn't super.
TV 5, just middle of the road.
I say TV 4. It wasn't... The girl wasn't that cute. I mean, yeah, she's a cute little kid.
The advancement of the Delin and Sheridan's love story is what gave it a little bump for me.
Okay, okay. What about the P5 rating for Confessions and Lamentations?
7.85.